buy the new, the same grade as the yeshiva using. Or these big quality copy machines, they take a different grade. Anyway, so next week will be the last year. Next Friday will be the last year. Me'inyan le'inyan. So I'm thinking about what to do next year. Thinking about it. So if anybody has an opinion, please feel free to email me or something. I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about is doing Torah of Rav Soloveitchik on the Parsha. It's always exciting. Soloveitchik, it's always exciting. And they recently published, I'm such a big shot. Not that I'm such a big shot, they recently published these chumashim that have all the Torahs of Rav Soloveitchik on them. Again, but I have an intellectual tradition. I mean, you know, my Rebbeim studied by Rav Soloveitchik, so I do have, aside from the what was published, I have access to lots of other stuff of Rav Soloveitchik's writings. It wouldn't just be that, but for me, it would be an exciting opportunity to explore Rav Soloveitchik's writings. The other thing I was thinking about is doing the Sofer family, either the Chasam Sofer or the Ksav Sofer. Also, I have a very rich tradition of printed material that there's a lot to glean from. Those are all more modern day kind of commentaries. If somebody has a suggestion about another commentary, next week is the last year. Next week, next Friday. So if anybody has other suggestions, I was thinking maybe doing the Sfarno. The Sfarno we haven't really delved into that much. However, if you have any suggestions that you have, I'm certainly open to them.
Now you have for the year ever and the year after.
Okay, there we go. There we go. That's right. They're both. I would be personally very excited, both about Rav Soloveitchik and about the Sofer family. Now, just speaking about Rav Soloveitchik, you may remember I've talked about this in past years, that Parshas Baal Osra was Rav Soloveitchik's favorite parsha. He talked about how, and that's why this year is going to have a lot of different themes today, because one of the incredible things about Parshas Baal Osra is that you look through the parsha, and Rav Soloveitchik liked to say about Baal Osra, he says, not everybody listens to the lading so carefully in shul. Not everybody listens to the laning always so carefully. You doze off, you're dreaming. But I make sure very much to listen to the laning very, very carefully. I get one more chair. I listen to the laning very carefully. And hey, Reb Nissen, we got a good seat for you right here. And Rav Soloveitchik used to always say, it's good that Joel's coming in. He's very, very familiar with this piece of Torah from Rav Soloveitchik, as well as many other pieces of Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. But he used to say about Baal Osra that most people listen to the Torah reading, and they don't listen so closely. But those who do listen carefully to the Torah reading, when you listen to Baal Osra, you think it's like nine separate topics coming one after another that have absolutely nothing to do with one another. And one of Rav Soloveitchik's most famous Parsha Shiurim ever was where he basically gave one shiur and tied together all the nine topics to explain how, no, there's actually one story running through all nine topics, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you vote for Rav Soloveitchik for next year, then if we get to Baal Osra, hopefully we will get to Baal Osra, you'll hear the Rav Soloveitchik's world-famous Torah on Baal Osra, where he takes nine separate topics and weaves them together into one. Or Barry's going to call me later today and say, I need that piece of Torah. You got to give me that one. I know. You could probably find it. I'm sure I've spoken about it in past years. It's one of my favorite go-to parshas Baal Osra. Basically, oh, by the way, I just reminded myself, I'm supposed to speak at an Ofruf the Shabbos. So I got what to say, because I always say. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but the last 2 weeks that we still connect to the Ksav HaKabbalah, and of course, as I say every single week that we study the Ksav HaKabbalah, there's going to be something very, very original. There's always very original stuff in the Ksav HaKabbalah. Reb Meir Tursky pointed that out to me. I'm forever indebted to Reb Meir Tursky for pushing me to teach the Ksav HaKabbalah commentary that I have not really had too much experience with before this year. So let's take a look. So the first topic is the The Levium, what?
How do you find that?
I think it's available. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's available in the farm. So you go to Z Berman, he'll get it for you. You go to Z Berman, whatever you ask him to get, if it's in print, he'll get it for you, wherever it is in the world. So he'll find it. Nachman, you got to go to Nachman and Z Berman. Okay. And he didn't even pay for that plug. Okay, here we go. So the first part of the parasha discusses you have the Neiros, then you have the Levium. The marching orders of the Levium, the purification process of the Levium. And the Torah has a very strange language, which we've read many, many times classically, and I don't think we usually stop to put too much emphasis on it. Take a look at Perek Ches, Pasuk Tezayin. Perek Ches Tazayin, the Torah says, Ki nisunim nisunim heim ali mitoch beisa. Now, we've read that pasuk a million and a half times. Did we ever stop to think, why is the word nisunim repeated twice? Now, probably you would, I mean, I'll tell you how I would usually look at that. I mean, the Torah is written in a poetic language, and sometimes the Torah repeats things. It's not so exciting. But the Ksava Kabbalah says, no. If the Torah says nisunim nisunim, it really is strange. Nisunim nisunim heim ali. So the Ksava Kabbalah uses this as an opportunity to talk about the greatness of the Levim in a very one quick line. Nichnaim heim ali. Libli sur mimitzvosai. That the Levim exhibit an extra special dose of being completely subservient to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not only by giving up their time that they don't, you know, go take a job and go into real estate like every good Jewish boy, or go into medicine, or they don't go into the but they're, first of all, their lives are given over in terms of service in the Beis HaMikdash. That's number one. But Ksav HaKabbalah points to a different point in Jewish history where the Levim gave extra special service and dedication. Nichnaim. So he says nisunim comes from the word nichnaim. Nichnaim means to be subservient to be humble, from the knias, to be bent over, to be humble, to be subservient. Libli sur mimitzvosai, kemosha nikru, like the pasuk in Ezra and in Nehemiah, hanichnaim lavodas hakodesh b'shem nisinim. The pasuk, the navi, of course, I'm not sure if we all walk around with a working Bikias in Ezra and Nehemiah all the time, but apparently, if you look over there, Hanichnaim Lavodas HaKodesh Nisinim. V'kafal kad Nisunim Nisunim. Why does the Torah double over here? Nisunim Nisunim. Lahagdil es Kniusam. To elevate the level of their humility. I'm reminded of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Ma'od Ma'od Heve Shfal Ruach. When it comes to humility, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, it's not enough when it comes to humility to be humble. But the Mishnah says, Ma'od Ma'od Heve Shval Ruach. When we talk about somebody being subservient, this midah of humility, of subservience, of being of totally being dedicated to a cause, in this case the cause of the Ribbono Shel Olam, V'kafal kad nisunim nisim lahagdil es kniusam, to elevate and to underscore the level of their humility. Shebelev shalem hispardu me'adas hachotim be'egel. That's where they expressed their incredible subservience. Most of Klal Yisrael was following the Erev Rav, who was trying to get people to worship the Egel Azav. I don't know if it was most, but a large number of people were following that way. And apparently there were important people from every tribe that were headed in that direction. Don't be choshed me. I made a bracha already. So that's where they expressed. They literally stood up in the face of what everybody else in Klal Yisrael was headed towards the Egel Azav. It took, the Torah is saying over here that it took an extra special, incredible amount of dedication, of subservience to do that. The kafa kad nesunusun lahagdas knusam. Shebelev sholem hispardu me'ad zachon be'egel lihishar tachas kanfei hashchina. Ayin mash kasavti besof pashas re'ei ish kematanas yodo. Where apparently, I didn't look it up, but he had an original interpretation of matanas yodo, meaning subservience. So the lessons over here is, there are many times that it could be that all of the Jewish people, or many of the Jewish people, are headed in a certain direction. And I'm sure we find ourselves in a lot of times where the whole world is going in one direction, or the whole world is interesting about one thing, or excited about one thing, or headed in a certain direction, which is not the right direction. And it requires a tremendous amount of dedication to the cause. It requires a tremendous amount of subservience to the Ribbono Shel Olam to follow the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants against where most of the world is. Maybe it's not as dramatic as an Egel Azov, but you got to wonder, I mean, if all of Klal Yisrael was headed towards the Egel Azov, you know, obviously there was a tremendous push in that direction. There was a sense of Yish, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there, whatever it was that pushed Klal Yisrael to go there. But the Levim, again, I think sometimes, like, again, we read the story, and okay, yeah, sure, we know. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Hashem Eli, all the Levim followed him, and it was like, oh, it was like a great, you know, great movie. You know, you're watching the, somebody should make a movie out of it with the golden calf. Somebody probably did make a movie out of it. What, did the Ten Commandments? Did they have that? It's in there, right? It's in there. The Egel Azov is in the Ten Commandments, right? I don't know. Charlton Heston? What was his name? Okay. Anyway. So, anyway, the Torah is underscoring, and that's why the Levim merited this special. It was because of that the Levim merited. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is underscoring here that it was their ferocious fidelity to the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam that allowed them. That's why. That's what the Torah is talking about here. Nisunim, nisunim, hey malim mitoch bnei Yisrael, tachas pitras kol rechem. That's where they earn their stripes. The Levim earned their stripes at the Chida Egel, and that's why they became the members of the members of Hashem's chosen group. And he further states in the next piece, again, now this is a tremendous chiddush. You will not find any one of the commentaries that is going to explain. And then this is worth waking up just for this, for the next one. Watch what he says. Look at the end of the pasuk. Tachas pitras kol rechem b'chor kol mibnei Yisrael. In place of the firstborn. Now again, we know, let me just make some room for Herbie. That's fine. It's good. It's good. Herbie's fine. Good. So, tachas pitras kol. Now again, every other commentary reads this as Pitras kol rechem. Petarechem means a bechor. That's just the Torah's code for bechor. Says no. Petarechem doesn't mean bechor. What do you mean? Well, it says bechor. Tachas pitras kol rechem bechor kol. Yeah. Why is the Torah here calling your attention to the fact that the bechor happens to be the opening of the mom's womb? I mean, that's true. Petarechem usually means a bechor is called petarechem because the bechor has to be the one that opens the womb. Now, of course, we know from this, for instance, we know from this Petarechem that a child born out of a Caesarean section does not have a status of a Bechor. Right? You don't do Pidgin HaBen on a child born out of a Caesarean section because it's not Petarechem. It didn't come out of the womb. It didn't come out of the womb. It came out a different way.
It's still the status of Bechor for inheritance. And all
that. Yes, correct. Because the Torah doesn't use the language of Petarechem when it comes to inheritance. But when it comes to Pidgin Bechor, it says it's Dafka Petarechem. So, correct. Excellent. Ah, you must be learning Daf Yomi. Just kidding. Okay, the Daf Yomi just finished Bechoros a couple of days. I just made a siyum in memory of my father. Yeah, I made the siyum. Actually, my father's yahrzeit was yesterday. So I made the siyum. I delayed it by 3 days, but we just finished Bechoros on Monday. Anyway, so there's a lot of discussion. The last parak discusses exactly that. And for what halachas are you considered a Bechor for inheritance, and for what halachas are you considered a Bechor for 5 shekel? It's not always the same thing. It depends on the Torah's language. Anyway, the Ksav HaKabbalah, take a look at his take on Pitras Kol Rechem. Unbelievable. He just makes something up out of thin air. Literally makes it up out of thin air. Let's take a look. Pitras Kol Rechem, Pirush, Lefi Shehutar Dveikus HaChavivus. That's the way he understands the word Peter Rechem. Peter means a disassociation, and Rechem, even though Rechem, of course, means the womb, but Rechem for the Ksav HaKabbalah is from the word Rachamim. And by the way, the word Rechem, Rav Hirsch, when we learned that Rechem, the mother's womb, is connected to the word Rachamim of mercy, that the mother's connection to the child is a merciful one, is a special, loving, and caring one. So that's why the Rechem is called the Rechem, because it's from the word of Rachamim, because the Rechem is where the child is produced, and the sweetness and the care and the love that the mother has for the child is expressed in the Rechem. So anyway, but aside from that, Pirush, Lefi Shehuta Dveikos HaChavivus, V'Niftar Kesher Avas Kol HaBechorim. The Ksav HaKabbalah understands in these words, Petarechem means the breaking of the love. That's what Petarechem means in this pasuk. Because when the firstborn followed all of the Jewish people to sin in the Chet Egel, they broke the chain and the bond of love that they had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they got chucked from what was supposed to be their position of serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Levim took over. So look what he says here. And you think I'm making it up. Now let's take a look and see what he says. V'atam, l'fisha ozvu ha-bechorim es devekos Hashem. The Bechorim left the special, unique connection. The Bechorim, the firstborn, were supposed to be the ones serving the Beis HaMikdash. V'to'u achrei ha-bogdim bo, lasus lam egel masecha. And the firstborn, the firstborn, it's interesting that in the Jewish people, you know, we get very nervous about things like that, about showing any kind of favoritism to one child over another. It's a bad idea. Favoritism is a bad idea. You got to love all the kids the same way. We've talked about it many times, right? I've quoted the Gemara in Shabbos all the time. Daf Yud, the Gemara in Shabbos says that because of the few ounces of silk of extra that Yosef got over the other brothers, that's why we had Golas Mitzrayim. The Gemara says that Yaakov was taking the test. The Gemara says Yaakov did not do a good job by giving. It was a mistake. It was a mistake to show favoritism. So we don't believe in that. However, having said that, the Torah did give a certain amount of extra something to the firstborn. You pointed out about inheritance. The Torah already says that. I mean, you know, you could ask, what about the favoritism point? But whatever, the Torah already says. And the Torah had the firstborn designated to be those that served in the Beis HaMikdash. They were supposed to be. But they abrogated that right by sitting in the Cheder Egel. Now take a look. Oh. Pitras hu lashon patur b'talmud. Right, those who study Gemara will know that the word pater means like exempt, which means you lose your connection, you lose your obligation. It's the opposite of being chayiv, right? That's pater. Pater in the language of the Gemara is the opposite of being chayiv. Umizeh, that's I think he's quoting from Divrei Hayamim Aleph. Lishkas piturim, haneftar min ha'avoda, hayu misakim lishkazu. The office of people who could not serve in the Beis HaMikdash. V'nikroim piturim, v'divrayom beis, perek gimel, kilo patar yehoyada. So peter doesn't mean like peterechem in the sense of the opening of the womb. Peter means exempt or severed. The tie was severed. That's peter. And what's rechem? U'milas rechem in arachemcha Hashem chizki, pasukin tehillim. Shulashon ava v'chiba. So the Ksav HaKabbalah just explained to you in four lines why he's reading Peter Kol Rechem in this pasuk, not in its simple explanation of the first of the womb, but rather Peter Rechem means it's an allusion to the fact of why the Bechorim lost their title. Namely, they severed the loving connection that God wanted to have with them. God wanted to have a special loving connection with the firstborn. He wanted the firstborn to be the ones who got the privilege to serve him Beis HaMikdash, but they blew it. They were peta rechem. They severed the loving connection. They severed the love. Peta rechem in this pasuk means those who severed the love. Oh, and now he gives a defense. And the Ksav HaKabbalah says, and now you'll tell me that I'm crazy? You'll tell me that I'm out of my mind for explaining the pasuk this way? So he says, let me tell you why I'm not out of my mind. V'lo yitachin lefarish pitrash kibashar makomos, and don't tell me that Peter Rechem in the pasuk just means another way of saying the firstborn, which is what every single other human being on the face of the earth explains that pasuk to me, this pasuk to me in that way. No. Kisham nemar Peter b'lashon zachar. So first of all, Peter is usually lashon zachar. V'kan nemar pitras shu lashon nekeva. So that's why I can't mean that. V'lo yitachin lomash l'kichas alavim hi tachas Paul psichas harechem, and it also doesn't make any sense to say that the taking of the Levium was in place of the opening of the womb, because that's just dumb. What do you mean? Ulefizeh yeh targumo. Well, you had Yiddish that I crossed out. Fine. I am Ashkaz. Anyway, his point is that petarechem means that they severed the love, and I think the lesson for us is that anytime a person flies in the face of the, imagine if we felt the love of the Rabbanu Shalom so powerfully and so at all times. I think that it's sometimes hard to feel that. It's very hard to feel that. But imagine if we felt the love of the Rabbanu Shalom all the time. It would be hard to go against His will. It would be hard to sin if you really walked through life feeling the love of HaKadosh Baruch at all times. And that's the way the Ksav HaKabbalah categorizes the sin of the firstborn. There was a special, unique love there. And they just strayed. They ignored it. They rebelled against that love, and that's why they lost their special status. But I think the lesson for us is that we're supposed to really walk through life really feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us at all times. And I guess I can only really speak for myself, but I think that sometimes we feel like we're on such a low level that we don't merit that love. You know, we look at certain members of Klal Yisrael. You know, I look at certain friends of mine, very holy spiritual people, and think like I'm nowhere near their level, so I don't really feel like I merit that love. But I think that the lesson for us here is that we're supposed to go through life trying to feel that way. In the interest of time,
suggests that every time the Torah mentions Petah Rechem, it's a reminder of what they did.
No, Joel. I think specific only this time. Exactly. He's saying that the opposite. That this is an exception to that rule. Every other time it means like what we normally think it means. But here he's saying, because he's talking about how the Levim were taken in place of it, he's highlighting the fact that it was not feeling the love. It was a rejection of God's love. Pitras Rechem is an exemption / rejection of that love.
Language supports that.
Yeah, exactly. Tachas, yeah, exactly. You're right. Now, I'm skipping the next piece. If we have time, we'll go back to it. I mean, all he says in the next piece is that it takes 5 years to learn a craft the right way. That's how he answers some steers about the Levium. And I'm even going to... the next piece is also... I'm going to skip the next piece as well. We'll come back to it if we have time. And the last two pieces is really what I wanted to spend most of my time here on. Very, very beautiful pieces about what causes a person to do tshuva, and in the end, a little bit about Yisro. Those are the two. And then if we close, I'll tell you the most, you got to remind me, the most incredible thing at the end. Just not life-changing in terms of personal growth, but just incredible pshat in something. We'll get to that at the end. Coming attractions. Here we go. Let's go to this piece on page 2, Vahari Yosem. Now, what's the Torah talking about over here? The Torah's talking about, take a look. Again, it looks like there's nothing to do with each other. So in the middle of these parashios, the Torah sticks in the whole story with the chatzotzros. A lot of discussion about the chatzotzros. Perek Yud. Asei lecha shtei chatzotzros kesef. Vayu lecha lemikro edu lemas samachnos. He has a lot of beautiful explanations, which I'm leaving out in the interest of time, about what's the difference between a tekiah and a chua. He says tekiah is to bring people together, chua is to bring people separate, to attack the enemies, whatever it was. Now take a look at this. So the last two psukim, pretty famous psukim, the bottom of page 415. Let's take a look. It says, V'chisavo milchama ba'artzachem al atzar atzar eschem, v'haryosim b'chatzotzos, v'nizkartam v'nashem alkechem, v'noshatem me'oivechem. So at war, you blow the chatzotzos. That's one of the times you blow as at war. Not only that, also on Yantif, you also blow the chatzotzos. Very funny. You blow it at war, and you blow it on Yantif. What's the common denominator? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah so beautifully. Let's take a look. So number one, whenever you hear the sound of a trumpet, right? I guess if you watch those war movies, there's always trumpets in those things, right? They're always blowing trumpets for some reason. But the reason is that you make a lot of noise, and you know it scares people. Noises, loud noises, can be scary, not only to children. That's why you have an alarm, right? A loud noise, a siren. Oh, nowadays the siren has come to express this as well. Kenyan pasuk says, "Hayiska shofar b'ir v'am lo yechradu." Right? It's about tshuva. Uvazeh yashuvu al Hashem. Now he's quoting from the Abarbanel here, as you'll see in a moment. So the Abarbanel says, what's the point of using a chatzotzos at war? Well, the chatzotzos are not for the enemy. It's not to scare the enemy. It's to scare the Jewish people into tshuva. And when we do tshuva, we'll be saved from our enemies. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it. So the point of the chatzotzros was to awaken the people to do tshuva so that Hashem will give us victory in battle. Because when we do tshuva and we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll see that we'll be saved.
Well, you have to do tshuva because you're about to die. You're at war.
Okay, good. You'll see, he's going to say. V'inyan hazikaron hu, he says, right, he says, v'inyan hazikaron hu, ki biyosam poshim lefnei Hashem. What's the zikaron? So the Ksav HaKabbal is going to have a slightly different take than the Abarbanel on the point that you just mentioned. Let's see. So the Abarbanel says that the zikaron is that when you're a sinner, God, quote unquote, forgets about you. Now, it doesn't mean he forgets. God doesn't forget you. It means there's a certain degree of hester panim to a sinner. Like you said, oh, you, like we saw before, you're taking yourself out of my world, the Rabban Shalom says. Well, if you take yourself out of my world, I will respond mida keneged mida and take myself a little bit out of your world, and you will not merit the same kind of watching hashkacha that somebody who's doing the will of Hashem does. And that's what it means. So that's what's going on over here. You sin, so God removes himself. So the chatzotzros caused you to do tshuva. So you will now be back in the game. So God says, you're now more in my memory. Kviyachal. So, v'inyan hazikaron kibiyosam poshim yasir panav v'hu inyan hashikcha. Rotzal omar, ba'ofen shi'in iskaron lefanav. Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel. L'dvarav ha'tshuva v'hu ha'ikr chasam min ha'mikra. He says that the tshuva, the Torah doesn't say it. L'chein yitachin l'chavin ha'dvarav. So the Ksav HaKabbal says to the Abarbanel, your pshat is sweet, but then according to the way you're learning the psukim, so the ikar is chasam and hasefer. The Torah should have said something about the tshuva. It just says you'll be remembered. So he says, let me take your pshat Abarbanel and put it in the words a little bit better. Look what he says. Lachen yitachen lachaven adram yosa lashna. And I'm going to read a little quickly for a while in the interest of time, and then I'll summarize what he says. Levar milas vahariosim. So vahariosim b'chatzosos doesn't just mean, and this is l'shitaso. He said this already a few times, and maybe I'm going to make a Rosh Hashanah drasha out of this for those who might be there. But vahariosim inyan shviras halev unemichas haruach. So the word to blow a trua, vahariosim trua, is that the staccato beat of the trua is to rip apart the heart, to put it in little pieces, to make the heart in little pieces. That's why trua is staccato. So vahariosim, he says, means to rip apart. And like it says in the Zohar, kivim mechilta de Rashbi, that's what he calls the Zohar, ve'ezbecha ba'ahalo zivche trua, dichsev zivche elokim ruach nishbara, a broken up spirit. U'kumosh kaza be'emor, be'zichron trua, like I wrote in Parshas Emor. V'hamechuva memilas v'hariosim b'chatzotros, ayudei chatzotros, tesovavu shviras halavavos, unemichas haruach. Ukehoras hahifil, vahariosa means that the trumpet is going to break your heart. It's going to break your spirit. V'chein lashon v'nizkartim l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem l'dati ena kavana bo shehatruos yalu zichronechem l'tova l'fanav yisparach. No, here he's diverging from the Abarbanel a little bit. It doesn't mean that the trumpet is going to elevate your memory to Hashem. Like without the blowing of the shofar, God's going to forget about the people. God doesn't forget things. He doesn't need to be reminded. God doesn't need to be reminded. He doesn't need the shofar to remind him of what's going on. No. Like that Abarbanel says, that you will be moved by the blowing of the trumpet. You're going to remember that which you forgot until this point. The enemies of the Jewish people that come to attack us, they are the shluchim of Hashem to remind us. Lahanishchem, to punish us, al shahayu mitzvosav kishchuchem milvavchem, that God's mitzvos. Ksav HaKabbal is saying, whenever the enemies of the Jewish people come upon us, don't blame it on the enemies. They're just there to remind us of what we ourselves forgot. The fact that we are not connected. Ve'ata titnu leiv lios zechurim v'nizharim lintos lifnos mayom v'hala el mitzvosav. You have to use the enemies whenever you're attacked by the enemies and you blow the trumpets. use that as a time to reconnect. Milas lefnei inyano kan ledati inyan netias haratzun upnias hamachshava kamo lifnos boker penos el amincha v'niskartem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. You should turn to God. Lefnei means lefanos, means to turn. Pnia yamina, right? You ask a guy in Israel for directions. Tifnei yamina. Pnei yamina, to turn. Lefnos means to turn. So in the pasuk here means to turn to God. V'niskartem, you'll remember lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, to turn yourselves back to God. Val davar ze yisbar gamkein mashnemar achar ze v'hayu lechem lizikarum lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Ratzon lomar yaskiru eschem lios netuya das upriya machshava b'chol inyanim el Hashem yisparach. Talks about, let's skip to the bold at the end. Shebizmane ha-moadim. Now, why specifically on Yontif? Listen to what he says. So why do you blow the chatzosos on Yontif? I understand in the war. Why on Yontif? Listen to what he says. Unbelievable. Unbelievable chiddush. Shebizmane ha-moadim. Shehem ha-itim shenikbo el ha-simcha. He says the Yontif is the time for simcha. Now, simcha is a great thing. But simcha, he says, could also be a dangerous thing. And on Yontif, he says, paradoxically, I wouldn't have said this in a million years, but on Yontif he says, it's easy to forget God on Yontif because you have plenty, bountiful. Yontif is either the time of the harvest or the time of the reaping, the harvest, or the gathering. So he says, Asher teva hachomer, kishe yichol kal bin yonim ha-mesam chemosa, lotzeis miderach hayoshi yosem midai. Uvenokil yuchal adam linpol bereshes ha-tomen l'raglov l'shkoach es Hashem. It's easy to forget God when you have bounty, when you have simcha, when you have plenty. It's easy to forget God. Kachasov, as the pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, Pentochal v'savata v'shachachta Hashem Elokecha, uchinin v'yishman yeshurin v'yivat. When you get fat, you kick. Lachein himsi yisbarach trufal azes. So the pasuk gives you a medicine for this. Shebeitim kaela yisku b'chatzotzos. You should blow. There's a special blowing of the trumpets on Yontif when you're bringing the karbanos. Shehem yaskiru osana bashkachasu al yonu. We should realize, where did we get this bounty from? Ki tamid einav yisparach aleinu. Harotze liskos amo vitzon mariso. Hu asher kavar lanu azmanam aile lemoad de simcha lizkar b'manisim v'atovas asher gmalanu l'man nizke l'fanav b'chol ma'aseinu v'lo nosar achre shriros halev. Unbelievable. So that's how the Ksav HaKabbalah beautifully ties together these two psukim. When are the two times that a Jew needs a reminder of his connection to Hashem? Either when the chips are very bad or the chips are very good. That's the two psukim. Look at them two. V'chisavol milchama ba'aretz chazav ha'ariyosim ha'chatzotzos. V'nishatem. Uv'yom simchas ha'mo'adeichem roshim ha'uskatem ha'chatzotzos. So beautiful. That when things are bad for us, we should remember how they get bad, because we forgot the Rabbanu Shalom. And when things are too good for us, we should be careful. Don't let them get too good. Don't forget God. You can forget God when two things are bad, or when you can get God when things are too good. Kos Yeshuos Esa, Uvishem Hashem Ekra. Tzara V'yogo Nemtza, Uvishem Hashem Ekra. Whether things are Kos Yeshuos Esa, remember the name of Hashem. David HaMelech says, Sarah v'yago nemsa. If things are bad, why are they bad? Because we strayed. V'shem Hashem Ekra. So we have to. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says that the Chatzotzos served as this wake up call, both when times are good. Sounds like a great Rosh Hashanah drasha. So I want everybody to please forget this before Rosh Hashanah. Jerry, I'm counting on you. Forget it, please. Done. It's a deal. Forget it before.
One of the three.
What's that?
Zichronos is one of the three.
Ah, exactly. Zichronos. There's a new pshat in Zichronos. Beautiful. Okay, so Zichronos either means.
Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers.
Right. It's so right. He remembers us. We don't. He doesn't need a memory. We need a memory.
Here it said it didn't relate to him. It relate to us, not to him.
Exactly.
So, Rabbi, your question against the Kavan Kavala would be his attachment of military victory to devotion to God. But we know the question would be against him from the Navi. We know that there were periods in the Navi where the people were very distant from Hashem, but they loved each other, and under this, it was an evil king, they won every war they ever fought. But when they were very religious, and I think it was even during the times of Shaul, they would lose battle after battle, because they were divided against each other. So it seems that the Ketav and Kabbalah concept of tying military victory to devotion to Hashem would be against what the Navi is saying. Military victory is the feeling that the Jews have for each other, not so much their devotion.
Well, the only thing I would say to that is that the I have a few reactions to that. I have a few reactions to that. My first reaction is, I do think you have many sources in Chumash and in Navi, and I'm going to plead a lot of ignorance in Navi. Blame it on my high school education. No, I'm going to plead a lot of ignorance in Navi, but that's not right to blame it on other people. It's my own fault. There are many sources about how I'll give you. I only know Gemara. I don't know Navi. I know Gemara, but in the Gemara it says that Hasach bein tefillin tefillin chozim arche amalchama, that if a person even talks between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shal rosh, he's not allowed to be a soldier in the army because even for a small aveira, you got to be worried. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to give you a delivery. We do have this concept in Judaism that the Jewish army has to live up to a higher standard, and we will be zochet to more siyata d'shmaya the more religious we are. But I think that would include Ben Adam L'Chaveru. I mean, Ben Adam L'Chaveru is just as important as Ben Adam L'Malkum. And what perhaps with those sources that you're speaking about, which I'm completely unfamiliar with, honestly, that speak about how that is, that the Ben Adam L'Chaveru is also a religious obligation. It's not like... And yeah, that's part of being a Jew. There's two halves to the Luchos Herbi. Half of them is Ben Allah Chaveiro, half of them is Ben Allah Makom. If you only observe those five and not the other five, then you're not going to merit the special divine assistance. So, but I hear you, Kasha. Let me close with this also incredible Chiddush. Two quick Chiddushim. This Vayisa Lanale Inayim, the Yisro piece is unbelievable, but you're going to have to do it for homework. Right? In the middle of these Pashas seem to have nothing to do with each other. There's this thing about Yisro. It's stuck in the middle, right? Moshe says to Yisro, come join us. And Yisro says, no, I got to go back home. Bizarre. Like, what's going on over there? V'hayisa lanalei naim. So he says, Yisro, the whole deal with Yisro is not v'hayisa lanalei naim. The deal with Yisro is that if you stick with us, and you come to Eretz Yisrael, and people see that a guy like you, who was a non-Jewish priest, saw the emes of Judaism came, that would be the most incredible Kiddush Hashem ever. That's v'hayisa lanalei naim. Simple pshat of Yisro Lanalei Naim is you're going to be a guide for us. Like, what is it? Who Yisro knew, the guide in the desert, what he knew? It's a strange pasuk. Someone says, no, you will be like the leadership. You will bring so many people to God. If somebody like you comes to God, who was a priest for the non-Jews, and you see the truth in Judaism, how much more so will the whole rest of the world say, oh my God, there's really some truth to this. So you will be the best PR, you'll be the best hasbara, For the Jewish people and the history of Jewish people, if a non-Jewish priest comes, that's the way. You got to do that for homework. Just, it's worth it. It's a long Shabbos afternoon. I would advise you to take a look at this. But now, here's this stomp. We're over time already, but this is incredible. And maybe you all heard this. Right, gentlemen? The backwards nuns. The backwards nuns. What in the blazes is up with the backwards nuns? So I've never heard this. I must have heard this once before, but I never heard this. Gentlemen, in order to understand the backwards nuns, you have to turn back. Perek Bamidbar Beis Yud Zayin. Bamidbar Beis Yud Zayin. Take a look. Why am I sending you to Bamidbar Beis Yud Zayin? Okay, let me read you the pasuk of Beis Yud Zayin. Look at this. Now again, this is not going to be life-changing. This is not going to change your life. This is not going to change your Shabbos at all. But it's an incredible shot in the backwards. Listen to this. V'nasa ol moed. Notice, you see the samach before that pasuk? The samach means it's a closed pasha, which means there's a break of eight letters in the Torah. There's a break of eight letters in the Chumash. It's open, right? V'nasa ol moed. Machan alvim besocha machnas. Now this pasuk is describing how they traveled. It said, right, if you look 10 psukim before, the beginning of the parak. So the camp of Yehuda traveled first, then the camp of Reuven traveled, then the Ohel Moed traveled, and then done whatever, then the other camps, right? So, now, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, if you count 50 parshios from here, from Venasa Ohel Moed, count 50 samachs and peis, closed parshios or open parshios, you get the Vayhi ben Soha Aron.
The nuns are 50.
So the backwards nuns, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, is Pasha Pshat. What's the backwards nun? Vayhi b'tzah aharon. Why are they bracketed by a backward nun before and afterwards? Because it's telling you that the place that these two psukim vayhi b'tzah aharon really belong are 50 parashios earlier. Because that's where the aharon is actually traveling. Why is it where it is? So Chazal say, lahafsik ben peronios l'peronios. That for some reason the Torah took a pasuk that belongs 50 parashios earlier and put it 50 parashios later to divide between peronios and peronios. But where the place really belongs is 50 parashios backwards. Why are the nuns backwards? Why are the nuns backwards? Because the Torah is telling you, go look backwards, 50 parashios, nun is 50. Nun is 50. Go look backwards, 50 parashios earlier, that's where this parasha belongs. Unbelievable. I never in my lifetime understood what in the world was going on with the backwards nuns. Ridiculous. Rav Soloveitchik has a brilliant chiddush, nosim, that the whole, Rav Soloveitchik learns, the whole nisiyah got thrown on its back. The whole traveled Eretz Yisrael got thrown, but maybe that'll be for next year. We'll see. But the backwards, anyway. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. What do we learn? We learn that when a Jew follows in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Bechorim will follow the right way, when we feel the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we'll do the right thing, we'll stay connected. And especially at a time of war or at a time of great joy, you have to be very careful not to lose those feelings. Okay, I'll say a Kaddish in memory of my father. Thank you for coming. Next Friday is last Pasha. Tell Wilimowski, we're very happy that he sent you in his place, but we need him.
There's no replacing
Wilimowski. Tell him we need him also. We need both of you. Okay. Thank you for coming.